WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Shelley Hassman-Kadish. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut lawmakers have a budget deal. U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal is back from his seventh trip to Ukraine. His colleague, Senator Chris Murphy, is launching a new fundraising pack. Plus, New York State is imposing new laws on companies that let customers buy now and pay later. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Sabrina Garone. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont and state lawmakers reached a deal on the state's $55 billion two-year budget by agreeing to scrap a child tax credit for the middle class. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lamont opposed the $150 per child tax credit for couples earning up to $200,000, but accepted a Democratic proposal to have a $250 per child credit for families who qualify for the state's earned income tax credit. Speaker Matt Ritter says that would cost less money and benefit the state's neediest families.
Let's be honest, sending $250 to somebody who's making $47,000 a year is going to have a lot more impact than sending $150 to a couple that makes $200,000 a year.
House Republican Minority Leader Vincent Candelora criticized the deal for failing to recognize the needs of the middle class.
So we continue to see the wealthy being taken care of with no tax increases and the poor being taken care of with social programs. There is nothing in this budget for the middle class.
Republicans also criticized Lamont for agreeing with Democrats to adjust the state's fiscal guardrails to balance the budget. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut is back from his seventh trip to Ukraine. He's introduced a bill that would impose a 500% tariff on any country buying Russian oil or gas.
82 members of the United States Senate, evenly divided, Republican and Democrat, are supporting our Russia sanctions bill. We hope for a vote literally within coming days.
The sanctions would be imposed if Russia refuses to negotiate on a peace deal or reinvades Ukraine after any peace deal is done. Blumenthal was joined on the trip by South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut has launched a new political action committee to support citizen-led protests. WSHU's Sophie Haxey has more.
The PAC, called American Mobilization, will counter what he says is President Trump's threat to democracy. The PAC has already spent nearly $500,000 on groups who want to protect Medicaid and register young voters. The PAC plans to spend more than $2 million before the 2026 midterms. Murphy says the American Mobilization Project will focus on supporting citizens in protecting democracy. He says this is not about launching a presidential bid. Murphy has said he is not running for president. Sophie Haxey, WSHU News.
The Northeast has some of the highest energy prices in the country, and every winter, millions of people here depend on federal assistance to pay their heating bills. The help comes from the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, but LIHEAP faces an uncertain future. President Trump wants to eliminate it. More on that soon.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Randy Kaye, All Things Considered host on WSHU. It's your financial support that gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thanks for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart's exploratory campaign for governor has surpassed $200,000 in fundraising as of June 1st. Stewart says once her campaign reaches its goal of $350,000, she'll formally enter the 2026 race. 15 Connecticut companies made the 2025 Fortune 500 list of U.S. corporations. Companies that made the list include Bloomfield-based Cigna Healthcare and Stamford-based Charter Communications. The rankings are based on revenues from the previous fiscal year. The town of Southold on Long Island has extended its moratorium on new hotel development for another year. Five proposed projects are delayed, including an 81-room hotel in Matatuck, whose developer is seeking an exemption from the moratorium. Residents back the pause and want officials to complete a zoning update first. New York State is imposing new rules on companies that let consumers buy now and pay later. John Campbell reports.
Each year, hundreds of millions of people choose to split their purchases into interest-free payments. Now, New York is placing new restrictions on buy now, pay later lenders, which include consumer protections similar to those required for credit cards. State Senator James Sanders is a Queens Democrat who pushed for the new rules.
We think that there's room in New York for them, as long as they understand that in New York we have rules.
Some of the companies are pushing back. A trade group known as the Financial Technology Association says the new rules show a, quote, fundamental misunderstanding of the company's services. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
The Northeast has some of the highest energy prices in the country, and every winter, millions of people here depend on federal assistance to pay their heating bills. The help comes from the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP. But LIHEAP faces an uncertain future. President Trump wants to eliminate it. Miriam Wasser looks at how that might impact low-income New Englanders.
It can take up to $1,500 to fill the oil tank in Lily Bryan's basement.
And that don't even last you a whole season.
Bryan lives in a small single-family home in Dorchester and is one of thousands of senior citizens in Massachusetts who rely on federal LIHEAP money for heat. She says the program changed her life. In fact, she describes the last two decades as having two distinct periods, before LIHEAP and after. The before times began in 2008, when she and her husband split up. She quickly realized the paycheck she brought home from her job at a hotel wasn't enough to pay the bills.
I remember laying in the bed one night, just scared. And I just said, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't got no money. I don't know who to call.
She picked up other jobs, but still, it wasn't enough. She cut back on groceries. And to put off having her oil tank refilled, she'd turn the heat way down and take cold showers. Sometimes she'd open the oven door to warm up the house.
You just did what you had to do to survive.
Bryan lived like this for many years. And then, one day, in the middle of winter, her oil furnace broke down. A neighbor told her about a local nonprofit that might be able to help. And it did. The organization replaced her furnace and oil tank and signed her up for LIHEAP, or HEAP, as it's now known in Massachusetts. She hasn't gone without heat since. Bryan's retired now and lives on a fixed income. She says the prospect of losing this assistance is almost unfathomable.
It's just hard to really imagine. It's scary.
But this $4 billion program is on the chopping block. President Trump has proposed eliminating all of its funding.
If the LIHEAP funds go away, people will die, and it's not hard to see why.
Mark Wolf is an energy economist and leads the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, a group that represents state agencies that administer LIHEAP. He calls the president's proposal cruel.
They didn't say that they thought this was a good program but poorly run, or they thought this was a good program that could be improved. They just said we don't need it.
LIHEAP helps about 6 million households across the country pay for heating and cooling every year. Supporters of the program say it's particularly important in the Northeast, where winters are cold and heating costs are high. But the White House says LIHEAP isn't essential, because many states forbid utilities from shutting off heat in the winter. This is true, says Jennifer Bosco, a lawyer with the National Consumer Law Center, but it doesn't apply to people like Lily Bryan, who use fuel oil or propane. Also, she adds,
just because you're protected from being disconnected for a period of time, it doesn't mean you have free utility service during that period of time. You still owe the money.
And you can still end up in deep debt. Rachel Gressler is an economist with the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. She acknowledges that some people need heating assistance, but she says the money should come from the states. If they fund the program, she says, they'll run it more efficiently.
Really, I think that this is something that can better meet the needs of people if it's done at a local level.
What's more, she says, the Trump administration plans to turbocharge oil and gas extraction to bring down energy prices.
The administration's agenda to unleash American energy is going to do more for every household in America than it is currently doing under the LIHEAP program for just these select households.
If that was true, then wait till that happens and then eliminate the program.
Ed Augustus leads the Massachusetts Executive Office of Housing and Livable Communities. He says if federal LIHEAP funding is cut, Massachusetts, like many other states, can't just pay for the program, and people won't get help with their heating bills.
We're forcing really horrible choices for families. You know, do I do the grocery bill, or do I do the heating bill, or do I pay the rent?
It's up to Congress to decide whether the federal government will continue funding the LIHEAP program. A decision is expected sometime before winter sets in. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Miriam Wasser.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Sabrina Garone. As always, thanks for listening to After All Things. Hope you have a great evening.